good evening, and it's a really, really beautiful May evening. So we've got some nice sunshine and no flies, and it's not too hot. And what I've got today is two clean glasses, amazing. And I've got two wines which were picked up in Sainsbury's, okay, very easily available, always on the shelf, and they're both from South Africa, because if you want an incredibly crisp spring white wine, that's just going to give you a lot of oomph and zest, okay, loads of, you know, pistol packing mama, you are going to need to get yourself either down to South Africa or some South Africa in you. And you don't actually have to go abroad these days, because if you look at the wine in the shops, you'll see it's all come to you, and you don't actually have to get on the plane and fly anywhere. That's the beauty of imports, okay? So that's a good tip there. Save yourself an airfare, just get down to a wine shop, and you can travel the world in your armchair, which is what I'm about to do. South Africa. Let's have a look at these. Two of the really great white grapes that South Africa does so well. But one of these was, I think it was something like £7.25, and the other one was £6.25. So, you know, very cut price wines, but I'm kind of trading on the fact that they're very, very popular, and that's how they're able to keep the price so low, added to the fact that anything that comes in on a container ship just doesn't cost as much as anything you've had to take over land on the back of a donkey. So what we've got here is the very generic Clear Springs Sauvignon Blanc, and it could really come from anywhere in the world, but it in fact comes from Western Cape. Clear Springs is a crisp, refreshing Sauvignon Blanc with notes of fresh gooseberries. That's what we want, isn't it? It really is what we want. We would like a bit of lime as well. Gooseberries and lime, and tropical fruits with a long zesty finish, which is exactly what we're looking for, which so often we just don't get in a decent crisp Sauvignon Blanc. We want the zesty feistiness and not the flaffy waffy pappiness, if possible. So let's see where this one's going. Delicious served chilled on its own or as an accompaniment. Well, it's going to be on its own, apart from the fact that it's accompanying another South African wine, and that one's 11%, so maybe good, maybe not. But is it, you know, I don't worry too much about the percentage on a Sauvignon Blanc, because if it's got guts, it's going to give, you know, the full whack, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't really matter. And the other one is 11% as well, and this is Bruce Jack Chenin Blanc from Western Cape, okay? And they're both 2025, and there isn't really any blurb on the back, except that it giggles when you press it. Well, that's always good to know, isn't it? So here we go, let's get the glasses warmed up, and we'll go for the Sauvignon Blanc first, because I know what I want in a Sauvignon Blanc, right? And I so often don't get it. So let's see if we can get these screw caps off. I always like to have a bit of a screw. And so, Clear Springs. Now I'm just trying this in a truncated glass, in a nice round bottomed, excellent sort of, you know, Sunday afternoon glass with well, it's my favourite Chenin Blanc glass, actually. It's got lemons on it. And often you do get a lemon zest with Chenin Blanc, but hopefully a lime zest with the Sauvignon Blanc. And that is where we're really at, isn't it? We've got to know what type of citrus we really want to touch here. So here we go. Let's see how it's doing on the nose. Really is a nice day, because the sun has gone behind a cloud, and you're just getting that nice sort of, you know, Sauvignon blankness, as it were. Very bright, but not too startling, as it were. But it's not giving me a lot on the nose, but I am getting a little bit of peach, a tiny bit of melon, some lychee, and the possible hints of that lime zest. So I'm just going to try the nose of the other glass. Right, this is it wouldn't be fair to call this a round bottom glass, but it's not truncated, it's not triangular or anything, it's, you know, it's oval shaped, if you like. So do try all your wines in two different glasses and give them a good nose. Don't forget you've got two nostrils, a right one and a left one. And you will get a different effect. I'm left nostril, so I get most of the zestiness on the left nostril. And if you do it just right, you look as though you're playing a wooden tenor recorder, okay? Sort of side-lipped, as it were. Right, so pretty underplayed, right? Pretty underplayed on the nose. There's slight hints, but it could be more my imagination than anything else. So let's just wade in and see, you know, let's say 5 stars, where 1 star is, oh my gosh, that's so awful, I think I'm going to just have to spread it on the lawn. And 5 stars, which is, yes, this gives me full zest. It's got the limestone, it's got the lychee, it's got the lime, it's got the gooseberry, it's got the tartness, you know, all that sort of thing. I mean, some people like mango in their Sauvignon, but I don't. No, I don't. I also don't like cowslowey in it either. But, you know, everyone's different. It's very contemplative. The sun is just creeping out from behind that cloud, so we're getting a bit of shadow work. It's very, very fascinating and beautiful evening. And I just listened to a wonderful cavalcade of 6 steam engines in miniature, but not that miniature, 1/3 size, shunting down from Dungeness to New Romney. And you can get the full whack of that with all the toot toot tooting, whistling and general sort of steaming on my little YouTube video, which I will post underneath. And that is where I am right now. And it really is splendid. I mean, we've got the beach just across the way and some lakes the other side if you don't fancy the beach. I quite like this, right? We've got to bear in mind that in today's world, this cost me £6.25. And I'll tell you what it is. It's like if you're a person that likes bright orange and you don't get the option of bright orange, say you're buying towels or wallpaper or something like that, but or a bath, you know, but you've got that pale pastel apricot, yeah, or you could go for blue, you know. So the thing is, if you're a bright orange person, you're quite possibly going to choose the pale pastel apricot over the blue, because it's kind of a pale pastel shade of kind of orange, right? I mean, it's in between yellow and red, you know. And so that's kind of what this wine is doing, okay? Bearing in mind it was half the price you would expect to pay, at least for a Sauvignon. So I mean, one of the problems is that you get two different types of Sauvignon Blanc, right? You get the French style, and anyone else in Europe that has a go at the French style, and then you get the New World style. And it's the New World style, particularly New Zealand Marlborough, that gives us this huge lime zest. But you do tend to get more gooseberry than lime from South Africa, and sometimes, not very often, but you can get an amazing attempt from Chile, okay? But the problem is that, you know, if you're thinking New World Sauvignon Blanc as opposed to French Sauvignon Blanc, you are going to judge it on Marlborough, you know, with that absolutely slicing lime zest and kind of big pineapple fruit flavours and all the rest of it. And this isn't going to give me this, well, partly because it's South African. But what you do get from South Africa is you get the pale pastel shades of that, and it's sublimely refreshing if you get a good one. So, yeah, I would say everything that I want in a Sauvignon Blanc is here in the pale pastel shade, just like if I've got a bright orange towel, which I have right in front of me, and then I go to buy another one, but they haven't got that, they've just got the pale pastel apricot. Yeah, so the bright orange is your New Zealand Sauvignon, and the pale pastel apricot, which is very, very nice, especially as it only costs £6.25, that's what I'm getting here with the South African, right? So there's, I mean, I don't have any criticism. It's not throwing, you know, bursting dynamite at me, but it's a very, very pleasant wine. If you like Viognier, if you like Vermentino, I think you might well like this one. It's definitely worth buying. Definitely worth buying. I would definitely buy that again. Okay, so, you know, if I would buy something again, it's worth buying. Because most of them, I just think, good grief, what is this? So I'm just going to swirl the truncated one around. And then I'm going to get on and open the Chenin Blanc. And I do find it totally fascinating. Two, same price point. Two, contrasting single grape varietals from one country, because if you can understand, you know, these grape varietals from one to our side by side, you're really going to get somewhere in understanding what you do and what you don't like in wine, you know. Personally, I think white wines are much, much easier to tell. Single varietals, they're all very standalone, but also the country, you know, you can't mistake a New World Sauvignon Blanc for a French Sauvignon Blanc. They're completely different beasts of burden, and they're going to give you a, you know, a good bang for your buck, which is more than blokes do, isn't it? Right, so I'm just having one of my I hate blokes, you know, months, I think. Well, it might be years, it might be the whole of the year, you know, it's my perennial I hate blokes. But there's always wine, you know, if you don't like blokes, there's always wine. And of course, there's always blokes that you can drink wine with. And then when they get a bit snotty, you can say, the one thing I'm glad I don't have is a husband. And you can, you know, you could really thread that into the conversation. It's all good for a good laugh, isn't it? In fact, a lot of men absolutely love my conversational snippets where I tell them how absolutely fucking useless men are, you know, because it's good stuff. It's not something they've heard before, only from their wife, you know, and it's all congenial, good, laughable, fun stuff. Yeah, so that's what that wine made me think of. It's an excellent wine, you know, for just standing around, you know, in an afternoon alfresco, barbecue, or whatever you're doing. And or even if you can chill it well before you go, right, it would be really, really nice on the beach. It really would. It's not a wine that I would drink in a London park, okay? I also wouldn't order it in an expensive London restaurant. And I probably wouldn't have fish with it. I'd go for more like a chicken fricassee, something like that. You know, chicken and rice, that sort of thing. It would be amazing with chicken kashmiri with lychees. And drop some pineapple and banana in there while you're doing it and have a fruit salad, and it saves having a pudding, doesn't it? So that's the kind of wine. It's actually really lovely. Really, really lovely. Understated pastel shade of bloody good zesty Sauvignon in a mild sort of cashmere type form. So without further ado, now I know I've chatted a lot about that, but it's not just the wine itself, right? It's the ambience, it's the time of year, it's the glasses, it's the occasion. I mean, a Sunday afternoon on my own is always an occasion, you know, because I just congratulate myself on not having any blokes around me, really. And so let's go on to the Bruschak. Now, what I like about this is it's giving me loads and loads of wonderful moisture on the outside of the bottle. It's really well chilled. And, can you hear that screw cap unscrewing? Yeah, it's just so, so nice. And I've got lots of anticipation. Don't get me wrong, I don't think these wines are going to be great, okay? All I want to ask from them is that they're not maudlin, okay? And the reason I take time with wines is that I want you to understand you're going to get so much from different glasses. That is very important. Different times of the year, different times of the week, different times of the day, right? It's all very important. And who you're with. I mean, if you're with people that are giving you a massive buzz, quite honestly, any wine will do, because you're just not going to notice the wine. You know, the buzz is not coming from the effervescence of the wine. It's coming from the conversation, the people, the occasion, the excitement of it. There really isn't a, you know, sort of, you know, social occasion that champagne isn't good for, because nobody notices the champagne as everybody's talking. And even if it does go up someone's nose, everyone else could just giggle about it. So that's a good one for that type of thing. But for more understated Sunday afternoon on your own, or with, you know, dowdy friends at a barbecue, these wines are going to be absolutely perfect. So let's go for the lemon sort of oval shaped glass, right? And here's the nose. Now that is really, really interesting. It's not something that's sort of hitting me immediately with my encyclopedic knowledge of wine aromas. I would say there's a good bit of jackdaw droppings in there. Mown grass. And a good bit of honeydew melon. Okay, so let's just see what the nose is doing on the truncated glass, and then we'll get outside of the wine itself. I have always felt that this one was going to be more exciting than the other one, because it's a chap's name and not just Clear Springs. I mean, Clear Springs sounds like the next drive that they've built on the new estate that isn't going to last very long, because they've built it on marshland. Clear Springs Drive. Yeah, this is really nice. I mean, sometimes Chenin Blanc could be very, very creamy, lush. As a single varietal, honestly, it's one of the most varying grapes imaginable. And if someone's a bit shy of going from Sauvignon Blanc or from Chardonnay, it has to be the sort of illegitimate child in the middle, because sometimes it's just so creamy it could be a Chardonnay. And sometimes it's so zesty it could be a Sauvignon, you know. So it might even please Riesling lovers. I shouldn't think it does. Those are the sort of people that aren't easily pleased by anything at all. And even, you know, rice scallops at Rye Bay. No, nothing pleases a Riesling, but the rice scallops should. They really should. But I don't suppose anyone in the area does a decent Riesling. And Riesling, again, is one of those great varietals that just can go from, you know, absolute flaff to sublime heaven. Now, they've both been in the same fridge for the same amount of time, but this one, for some reason, has decided it's more cold, okay? And I think Chenin Blanc is a wine that shouldn't be too cold, because it needs to just come up towards room temperature a little bit to allow its bustiness to surprise you. Whereas Sauvignon can very often not be too cold. There's not much going on here, but then arguably, is there anything going on in a Chenin Blanc from South Africa unless it's a reserve and it's been, you know, trickled over the nipples of a Venus, is, you know, merely what I'm asking. It reminds me of big blue skies and summer flies. Yes, not bloke's flies, just the ones that buzz around, you know, and are often found on cowpats. It's an interesting wine that just cuts straight through. I mean, it's got a steel coldness about it. Yeah, there's a little bit of mown grass about it. Fruit-wise, it's probably, if anything, and this is the pastel mild version of it, it's like a tart pineapple. It sort of gives me the coldness of the blade of a Swiss Army knife, you know. There's definitely a bit of limestone in there if you're groping around for, you know, flavoural sensation. Let's see what it's doing in the other glass. I mean, sometimes one glass will just give me an entire palette, or is it palette? Palette, I think. Yeah, palette of colours, nuances, pastels, you know, darknesses, fluorescence, and all the rest of it. And the other glass, just like, it's like some boring old bloke down the pub, you know. Coldness, steel, mown grass for the, you know, sensational effect. I wouldn't go past saying that there is gooseberries in this one, actually. What I would say is that New Zealand very often, I don't think I've had a shilling prog from New Zealand, but New Zealand often gives us, you know, the most stark contrast, like the sun full blaze on a sundial, right? That type of zesty powerhouse in a wine. And chili sometimes does something of the same, but once you get into Australia, it's going to give you, you know, high heat fluff. And by the time you get around to South Africa, you wonder whether life is still actually functioning sometimes. I mean, you know, it probably depends how much you pay, but I personally think South Africa is much better at red wines, but some of them just taste of, you know, Vaseline petrol, the cheap ones, and that's not good in a red wine, even if it is good in a white wine, which it sometimes is considered to be good in an older Riesling. But, you know, older, it's like older men, isn't it? You've got to say something nice about them. They smell of tobacco stains and petrol. I mean, it's, there's a certain cachet in there. So what I'm really saying is they're South African whites, they're fairly cheap, they don't have a lot going for them, right? But if you chill them well enough, they're going to be good, zesty, clean fun. And who knows, you could even try popping them in a glass together and you might get a revelation. Not that we haven't had enough of revelation just lately. I mean, we've had the Mark of the Beast, you know, the Scarlet Woman, the dragon, the weird thing that's got 11 heads. I think that's supposed to be the EU, isn't it? And we're coming up to the practically last chapter, aren't we? All that in a few short years, hey? Ka-ching! Right, so yeah, we don't need any more revelations just at the moment, but what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit the Holy Grail and do the Unforgivable as a wine review. And I'm just going to blend these two rather insipid, but nice pastel, mild, Kashmiri type lychee shades, you know, and see if I can get anything out of them together. I would buy both of them again. I've already bought the Bruce Jet one many times over. And, you know, the point is, it's not whether or not wines are any good, it's whether or not there's any bad in them. And very often in a wine, it hasn't got anything particularly going for it, but it's not bad. And when you come to supermarket wines, because you can't get hold of your club wines, then, you know, nothing bad is the equivalent of quite good, okay? Or in other words, passably drinkable. So I would definitely say both of these wines are worth trying. They are passably drinkable. They're going to go really, really nicely with either chicken and rice, possibly with lychee, banana and pineapple. Or they're going to be quite incredibly good with pork, because pork tastes of absolutely nothing. And almost every white wine is going to make something of it, especially if you poach the pork in the white wine before you eat it, okay? So I've just blended these together. Oh, I'm getting a really nice aroma from the oval lemon glass, as you will see in the picture. That's really something to write home about. I don't know how many South African Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc blends there are, but I have to say, if you want to get the best out of these two, 50-50 in the glass and you're laughing, basically. If you've got a couple of gooseberries, a piece of lime, and a lychee to pop in as well, or even just a peach slice if you're feeling fluffy, those will do as well. I mean, I don't sound like I'm overexcited about these wines. They're all right. They're bloody good for the money. Bloody good. especially when you've had a month of drinking exceedingly cheap red wines. When you've drunk cheap red wines, you know, any chilled white wine is going to be practically orgasmic. Don't get me started on the blokes thing again. I'm just going to say something rude, okay? Yeah, they're all white. I mean, you'd be hard pushed to find a nicer, clean cutting, steel cold white wine for that sort of price, £7, than those two. Don't ever go for that rubbish called Penguin Sands. I mean, there is no reason why you'd have either the word penguin or the word sands on a wine bottle. I just make sure you don't. You know, it doesn't taste of anything at all, and it's probably 10%. And these two have upped the market at 11%. And quite honestly, and this is why I think they're decent, right? They are fairly bland examples of what could really happen in those bottles, although it won't at that price. But they do have some kind of pedigree of being a bit like what you expect them to be without all the bad stuff like flaffiness, no taste whatsoever. And just, you know, you might as well just put the bottle under a tap and just pour water into it. And that is what so much shop wine is like these days. They don't bother, do they? It's in a bottle, it looks like it might be wine, it's 10% alcohol, they put a label on it. Bob's your uncle, it goes through the till on a barcode, and someone takes it home, puts it in the fridge, and has a perfectly miserable weekend, which I would do if I had a bloke in my life. But I don't, I just have two insipid but enjoyable wines. Now, don't get me wrong, if you put those two against Penguin Sands, they would be like Chablis meets Vouvray, okay? And later in the year, we will do Chablis meets Vouvray. Even if we have to wait till Christmas Day, we'll do Chablis and French Vouvray. Even if we have to wait till snowy Christmas Day. But never mind Christmas, we're just starting to launch spring, and then after that it will be summer, and we've got the autumn to go through yet. But right, so time of year, I would say pretty much now until the end of October. These are nice, not massively zesty, but they do have a pastel shade of zestiness in them. They are nice wines. I will be buying them again, no doubt, next year, if not this year, and you know, God willing. And they're all right. Right, just try and ignore the house wines, the Penguin Sands, you know, the Black Towers, the Blue Nuns, and the whatever other colours they are, but I don't even want to know. Okay, these are all right. They're pretty centred, you know. Very much sort of al fresco wines, on the beach wines. They're fine with friends. As long as your friends aren't expecting much of you, they're fine. Most of my friends, if I had any left, would be expecting Chablis, a really decent 20-year-old Riesling, or you know, the most mesmeric Marlborough Sauvignon imaginable, which isn't, by the way, Hunter's. I mean, you know, you can't judge them by one bottle, I suppose, but I had a bottle of Hunter's Sauvignon Blanc, which is like the original New World Sauvignon Blanc, and it tasted to me like a fairly fluffy Chardonnay. So, you know, considering the price and the reputation, I won't be going that way again anytime soon. So, yeah, you know, I'd rather drink these two, quite frankly. That's not good, is it? No. Well, it's not good for them, but it's good for me. So, what I'm saying is there's no right or wrong in wine, right? Just absolutely ideal. Two wines, two different wines from the same country, two different glasses, do exactly what I've done. I've talked for half an hour, but honestly, it's worth your while if you want to understand wine, if you want to understand life. Whatever you do, don't get yourself a wife.